From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. It's still too dangerous for rescue crews to go into the Upper Big Branch mine to look for four missing coal miners. West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin says the latest readings of toxic gas levels are still too high, but they are improving.
They're going to make sure they have that safety margin, and then and they tell me that anything from 4 or 5 and below is what they feel. There's still a certain amount of a risk, but it's trending in the right direction.
Earlier today, workers spent 4 hours in the mine and got within 500 feet of a refuse chamber, where it's hoped the missing miners sought safety. But the rescue team was forced to leave when a mix of noxious gases became combustible. A diplomat from Qatar who sparked a bomb scare on a U.S. airliner yesterday was on his way to visit an imprisoned al-Qaeda agent in Colorado. The Qatar embassy says these consular visits have been going on every month for nearly a year. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports he's likely to be sent home, but he won't face any charges in the U.S.
Mohammed al-Madadi was on a flight to Denver when authorities say he went to the bathroom to smoke and apparently joked about lighting his shoe on fire. He was detained by air marshals but has diplomatic immunity, so he won't be charged with any crime. State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley said the U.S. is satisfied that Qatar's government is taking the matter seriously. Asked whether the diplomat would be sent home, Crowley would only say he expects this issue to be resolved quickly. He also said he doesn't expect the U.S. to ask Qatar to reimburse U.S. law enforcement for responding to what turned out to be a false alarm. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Two former executives at Citigroup apologized to a congressional panel today for the damage the financial crisis has done to the U.S. economy. But NPR's Jim Zaroli reports they also noted there's plenty of blame to go around.
Those testifying included former Clinton administration Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin, who was a Citigroup director. He said an extraordinary combination of forces had caused the meltdown, like an out-of-control derivatives market, poor government regulation, and interest rates that had fallen too low.
We all bear responsibility for not recognizing this, and I deeply regret that.
Rubin was joined by former Citigroup chief executive Charles Prince, who was forced out in 2007 after the bank racked up big subprime mortgage losses. Prince apologized to the millions of average Americans who had lost their homes. He said Citigroup had heavily invested in derivatives that were widely thought to be completely safe, but had turned out to be anything but. Jim Zaroli, NPR News.
The Labor Department reports first-time claims for unemployment benefits rose last week by 18,000, but retail sales at chain stores jumped 9% in March, and Wall Street welcomed that report. The Dow closed up 29, the Nasdaq was up 5, the S&P was up 3. This is NPR News. Astronauts from the Space Shuttle Discovery will begin the first of three spacewalks of their mission later tonight. NPR's Joe Palca reports they'll retrieve hardware from the International Space Station.
The biggest job spacewalkers Rick Mastracchio and Clay Anderson have is to replace a coolant storage tank bolted to the starboard side of the space station. The tank is bulky, about half the size of a compact car. And because of where it's located on the station, there is a complex choreography of moving the new tank from the shuttle cargo bay to the space station, removing the old tank, installing the new tank, and then putting the empty tank back in the cargo bay for return to Earth. Mastracchio and Anderson are also supposed to replace a gyro assembly and retrieve a Japanese science experiment. The EVA, or extravehicular activity as a spacewalk is formally known, is expected to last 6.5 hours. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.
The political situation in Kyrgyzstan continues to be uncertain a day after opposition leaders claim to have seized control of the government. The Kyrgyz president left the capital but is refusing opposition calls to step down. Meanwhile, lawlessness in the capital, Bishkek, is increasing. Six major powers are holding their first talks on imposing new sanctions on Iran for its nuclear activities. The U.S., Britain, Russia, France, Germany, and China are discussing a possible fourth round of sanctions after Tehran refused to stop enriching uranium, which it says is for peaceful purposes. And Russian President Dmitry Medvedev and President Obama signed a new START treaty today in Prague. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.